This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right. Welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. With your host, Steve Ulscher, we got an all-male, this is like the all-male review. And we got Rich in the house. We got Rich Ote in the house.
What's happening?
What's up? We got White Wade on the mics and running the board. Thank you for that, my man.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking we've got Face Man here.
Who's Face Man?
The A-Team?
Oh, there we go.
Rich is the pretty one, right?
Well, I don't know about that. We got Justin in the house here, so I'm not sure that... Okay, fine.
I'll attempt Mr. T.
No, I'm B.A. Baracus. Oh, like, totally. Okay. Have you smelled my breath? Today, I am totally like B.A. Baracus. You know what? Here's the thing about Mr. T. I guarantee you that, like, no matter what that man does, you know, if you stood in front of him, you'd be like, oh, God, man, like that breath. Like, that's the first thing when I see Mr. T, I don't even see the hair. I don't even see the gold. I just think like breath. Like, I don't know. I've got issues, evidently. Well, you know, I have a lot of issues. Well, you've been here for a while with me.
So I'll be crazy Murdoch, and we'll leave it to our guest to actually lead us.
I like you being Murdoch. I totally
it's
like you being Murdoch.
Crazy,
okay,
right?
I like that. And so Justin Crane's in the house.
How's it going?
What? Whoa! Hey, how you doing, man? Welcome to the neighborhood
I
here.
I pity the fool.
Oh, so there we go. So now we got a B.A. Baracus battle. And so since we're both Jewish, we can do that B.A. Baracus, right? It's like so. How? What? Let's see. The kiddish, Yiddish. How would you say Mr. T in Yiddish?
Ooh.
Yeah, I know, right? See, you can see I didn't pay attention at all. Do you know I actually got bar mitzvah? Did you know that? I know, right? See, that's the look I get. I actually did get bar mitzvah. I was the littlest fucking dude you've ever seen, too. At 13, I was probably like 4'5", at the most, 4'5", maybe 90 pounds. Rich, were you always a big kid? Like, or did you, because you're a big guy now. So did you?
Yeah, I was always taller. Okay. Not necessarily always bigger.
Yeah.
Like especially jumping back and forth between wrestling and football. That was a strange experience on my body, trying to gain weight, lose weight.
Right. But why would you have to coach? Oh, because of wrestling. Did you say wrestling?
Yeah.
Oh, you wrestled too?
Yeah.
How did I not know such things?
I didn't know you were a grappler either.
See, there we go.
New every day.
And actually, what was it? About 2 weeks ago, Chris Lieben was here. Did you meet Chris?
Just quickly, between you trying to hug him and... Man,
that's a different kind of grappling.
I would have grappled that way with Chris because, I mean, that guy, as a matter of fact, I'll be honest. With Chris, I probably would have been the bottom. Like, I will be the first to say, like, okay, look, if this is going to be a fight, you win. I'll take the bottom position, like no doubt on that. All right, so really, really interesting day here. Justin's in the house, White Wade, Rich Ote, myself, Steve Ulscher, and it's scary because we've got nobody to balance us. So we are a crew. Like this is going to be scary.
We're in the man cave.
We're in the man cave. So like we have literally created the man cave here for ourselves. As Mary Goulet goes off to the wild blue yonder, back to she is in Minnesota, taking care of some family. Some personal business there. So if you tuned in, I got to tune you out. Hold on. There we go. So if you tuned in hoping to hear Mary Goulet, then I'm sorry. You're going to have to check out other episodes. And there's a lot of really, really good episodes, including the one we just had last week. Did you hear that one, Wade? Were you here at all for reinventing, what was that? Soulmates with Ariel Ford. That was impressive.
Yes, yes. I was here. Have no idea what you're talking about.
Me neither. Do you know Ariel Ford? Does that name ring a bell?
Yes, yes.
You do. All right, sweet. So, Justin, you're in from where are you at?
I'm in from Calabasas, suburb of L.A.
Calabasas, suburb of L.A. Nice. And so in the scheme of things, like if L.A. is... See, L.A., I always thought L.A. was like a coastal town. It's not even a coastal town.
It's
like
everywhere.
You've got Santa Monica and you've got Venice and then you've got Malibu. So Los Angeles technically never touches the ocean, correct?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, you got Santa Monica, which is west of L.A.
Right.
Then you go north, you hit Santa Monica, Palisades, Malibu.
Right.
And so on and so forth.
So LA actually never actually touches. So why the fuck is it so popular? Like why did so many people end up in LA?
We have killer weather.
Hollywood. But Hollywood's not even in LA, or is it?
No, it's still considered LA, yeah. But
wait, if you send a letter to somebody and they are in Hollywood, isn't that a city or is that, I never really did understand that. Is that a city? Like, is there a Hollywood, California, or is Hollywood a neighborhood of Los Angeles? Justin, you might actually know this.
Yeah, Hollywood is a city, LA is a county, and LA also has a city in and of itself.
Interesting. So Hollywood is not even in L.A. So that doesn't explain it either. And then you got Burbank, which is where Bob Barker was, right, for like 58 years. And then, like, that was the guy who was doing all the get your pets spayed and neutered. That's, like, from my childhood. I don't really remember anything except for Bob Barker telling me to get my – so I would just go out, and I would just randomly spayed and neuter pets because
– Bob Barker said it.
If Bob Barker told me to do it, then I'm thinking, like, I've got, you know, I have to do my job here. Bob has given me an assignment. Wade, you're looking very scared and confused. Or is this just another day of Reinvention Radio for you?
Yeah. Well, I was imagining what the neighbor kids, you know, were kind of nervous when you, hey, let's have Steve over for a sleep. No.
Believe me. But speaking of sleepovers, oh, go ahead, Wade. You are like jumping out of your chair. No, nothing.
Well, I was simply going to say it's not in L.A. either, but Long Beach Harbor Port is really, you know, people don't appreciate what a significant economic factor that is as part of L.A. because we get caught up in Hollywood.
All right, look, I will be completely honest with you. I was in Long Beach for the first time about 3 weeks ago. Nothing against you folks in Long Beach, but kind of a shithole. Like, I wasn't expecting that at all. Like, I mean, I thought it was going to be
an industrial port.
Well,
there's not much going on there.
And there's a lot going on there because at the hotel that I stayed at, like, it was, you know, a nice little Westin kind of thing and figured, you know, hey, I'm in Long Beach. I can just enjoy myself and this, that, and the other. Nope. There was a strike. And so basically at like 7 in the morning, I don't know how many of them were, but there was a whole bunch of, I don't know if it were the maids or the whoever, but somebody was really pissed off about something. And so they weren't just out there chanting. Like, one of them had a megaphone, but not
was
just
that
like
the post you had on Facebook.
That was the post, but not just like any megaphone. This was like a mega amplified megaphone. So everything that they were, because they were doing all these chants, like, you know, basically no sleep, no sleep, no sleep. Like, this was their chant. It really even had nothing to do with what they were upset about. They just didn't They just didn't want the people who were staying there to sleep. So maybe it was a money issue, Justin. So why don't you introduce yourself and talk a little bit about, you know, what you do and why on earth you would drive all the way down from the LA area to be with us today, which we do appreciate.
Oh, I love this. The vibe here is awesome. So my name is Justin Crane. I'm a money strategist for business owners. And I got into this field because I realized that there was not that many people doing money strategy for business owners. There were bookkeepers, there were accountants, financial advisors were doing, you know, a lot of like mutual funds, retirement stuff. And I just was like, you know what? There's a need for this and I'm rolling with it.
So what is the difference then between what you do and then what an accountant what's the difference from a business perspective? What are you doing?
Yeah. So bookkeepers are going to do data entry. They're going to input all your receipts, your books, all that kind of stuff. Accountants are going to do tax planning. They're going to file your tax returns for you and all that kind of stuff. But money strategist, this term that I just kind of made up and roll with it.
I like it.
Is how do you look at your business from a financial perspective with respect to what should your pricing be? How much money are you making? Where did the money go? What's your ROI in marketing? Should you invest in this? Should you sponsor that trade show? Are you wasting money? How do you be strategic with the numbers in your business?
Mm-hmm.
And what are the numbers really telling you? Because a lot of people have their head in the sand. And
well,
they
that's
don't
me.
Deal
I
with
mean,
it.
Like all the things that you're naming, I'm just like, don't know that answer. Don't know that answer. I don't know. As a matter of fact,
you got a new client, Justin.
There you go. I think for the most part, people like me are afraid to bring in someone like you because you'll go in and you'll say, "Yeah, you're bankrupt." That's the natural conclusion.
Good thing you got credit cards.
I know. Right.
Yeah. A lot of CFOs. You know, when I hear the word CFO, I think like blue suit, white shirt, red tie, and like don't do this, don't do that. And yeah, that's
wait. Blue shirt,
white shirt.
White shirt, blue
suit.
Blue suit. See, we did this thing with the monkey and the elephant and the cat and the peanut butter.
Do you remember
butter.
That? That would be good.
I don't. So we had this. If you're listening on the podcast, go back and listen to Reinventing Improved Memory because that was a really interesting show. We did like this whole thing where this guy, Dave Farrell, this fucking dude, man, he memorized like, what was it, 36 full decks of cards.
Wow.
Shuffled randomly 36 full decks of cards in order. So you said like red tie, blue suit, and white shirt, right? Is that it?
That was it.
Okay, yeah. So I can't even remember like three things. You were here for that one, Wade. So yeah, and I totally would have done.
Doesn't mean I remember it.
I totally would have done what he did. Like no doubt, I totally would have gone to Vegas, and I totally would have been counting cards. Like no doubt at all. Because why else would you? I mean, like if you are that much of an expert as far as memory goes, wouldn't you go to Vegas? I would do it. I could totally, because what is it, like a three-deck? It's like a three-deck shoot, right? Or a one-deck shoot. Even.
Yeah, I mean, they'd kick you out eventually if you start winning too much. You're gonzo.
Yeah, you just got to get little chunks and go, and probably off the strip, too.
Well, but there's enough casinos, man. Was there like a casino? Well, yeah, I guess it is sort of the consortium, isn't it? There you go. Like all the guys are like, yeah, that's the guy whose knees you want to break. So you probably don't want to be going to the same place or, geez. Okay, so anyway, money. So we're talking money here with Justin Crane. And I got to tell you, I'm one of those people. I like money. Yeah, given the choices, here's the thing that kills me. Rich, you can probably speak to this. So, you know, all the people who are out there and say money doesn't matter, you know, like it's not about the money. It's about doing what you love and this, that, and the other. You know what the common thread is among all the people who say that money doesn't matter?
They don't have it.
No, they have it. No,
sorry. They do.
Right. They have it. Yeah. And so they're like, yeah, no. Don't worry at all about money. Everything will be fine. Just do what you love and the money will follow. And I would suggest that whoever said that first, and I'm thinking it was probably Oprah, like we should all just kind of line up and just start slapping Oprah, like just down the line there. All right. So we're talking money today and business and all sorts of interesting things here on Reinvention Radio with Justin Crane. We'll be right back after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. And by the way, Rich, you probably saw this yesterday. So I do another show. I do a show with Alex Mendoza called Push Button Influence. Wade, why on earth do you have your fucking scarf on, man?
That's Wade's shtick, man. The jacket and a scarf. You haven't noticed that?
Did you have a jacket and a scarf on this whole time and I just didn't notice?
Ever since you've met him, he's had a jacket.
No, not that's not true.
Yes,
pretty much.
So for almost over a year now, you've had a jacket and a scarf on. Yeah, every time I see you.
I'm trying to be 70 years old.
Oh,
God. And just maintain the image.
All right, so let's talk about being 70 years old. So how far away from being 70 years old are you right now? You're about 30 years. Okay, so if he's 40 years old right now and he wants to retire at 70, all right, Justin, we're talking money and business and all that fun stuff here with Justin Crane. Let's talk about retirement for a second. First of all, is that a real thing? Like, do people actually retire? And what does that even mean?
Yeah, it used to be like our parents, they would retire cold turkey, you know, sit on the porch, drink lemonade.
And die.
Now,
like 6 months later. It's like you hear about the cops, you know, like the cops who go and they, you know, they're on the force for like 30 years, right? And then they're like, I want to save and get my pension, I want to retire. And then like 6 months after they quit the force, they die.
Yeah, and they could have died every day at work.
They come home and their old lady yells at them and they have a heart attack. And it's like, what the retirement. Yes, please.
So, yeah, now people are working. First of all, you're living longer. People are working more part-time in retirement. They're doing more of what they love. And they're realizing that, hey, it's expensive to retire, you know, if you don't have any income coming in. So people are trying to make money and have this casual, like, mini retirement and then go back to work. So it's not like it was for our parents.
So as far as retirement, Rich, do you ever see yourself retiring?
No way.
So wait,
not altogether.
Wait, are you going to retire? Or is this your retirement? Actually, this is probably your retirement right here.
Retiring in the casket.
Yeah, well, so you're going to work to the day you die.
That's what I presume.
Wow. So if you had enough money.
You say it in a different way, though, Wade. That's not like a torture the whole way.
All right, so if you had enough money, like let's just say, and by the way, what is enough money? Let me ask you this, because this is 2016. So if I want to retire in 2016, how do you even figure out like how much money you need to retire?
Well, you got to figure out what your monthly nut is.
Oh, I nut probably about 12, 14 times a month, something like that.
I knew it's when you were saying it. There's no way we're coming out of that one clean.
What about you, Rich? What's the over-under? Wade,
Trisha,
Wade,
you're listening?
What's the over-under? Way under. All right, here's what we're going to do. All right, Justin, I got your over-under right now. I'm thinking 12. I got the over-under 12 for Justin. I got the over-under for Rich at about 14 or 15. And Wade, I'm thinking about 6. That's the over-under.
On a good month.
On a good month. All right. So
there's only 4 Sundays, and he goes to visit his girlfriend on Sundays.
And he does it at church, right? It's like, Jesus Christ. Okay, fine. That's like you're like Pavlov's dog. Somebody says Jesus Christ, and it's like, there we go. Got to go to the bathroom, and that's every Sunday. Okay, so retiring. Sorry, Justin, you're being subjected
Your monthly number, whatever that is. Notice how I didn't say nuts. Your monthly number. You take that, you multiply by 12. Now you know how much money you need a year.
Okay, so let's say hypothetically, and what is realistic? I mean, $3,000 a month. I mean, even if somebody doesn't have a mortgage, but let's say your house is paid for, you still have real estate taxes, you've been there a long time, so your real estate taxes are pretty low. You have insurance, you've got your food, you've got your bills, that sort of thing. Like, even if you're barely just kind of like keeping it at the minimum level, what do you think is like that number on a monthly basis for an average couple? Like an average couple.
In LA?
In Calabasas.
Oh, $7,000?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's high there.
10?
So they need 84. So how much money would somebody need to, because you're getting nothing on your money right now. So you get like, 1%, you get like 1% interest on your money right now?
Yeah, we like to, not to get too technical, but we like to think
about. No, please do, because the Reinvention Radio audience, if you've listened to our show before, you know that we have a very sophisticated highbrow audience. So our folks, please.
All right.
No, get very technical.
And think about, three people really would like to know.
Yeah. it's how much money you have to have. So if you withdraw like 3 or 4% from your portfolio, that's pretty much going to get you to where you need to be and you won't run out of money. So if you have $1 million, and you take out 3%, that's $30,000 a year.
So you're still short.
$2 million is $60,000 a year. $3 million is $90,000 a year. $4 million is $120,000. So $4 million is $10,000 a month. So you need $4 million to live on $10,000 a month.
Well, here's what I've always said. I have always said that if I had $5 million in the bank at 5%, I'd be set. Like, that's my number. So figure $5 million in the bank at 5%, $250,000 a year, 20 odd G's a month. If I can't live on 20 G's a month, I've got problems that go way beyond anything on the surface.
There's two things you're missing. Number one, you can't get 5% today. And number two, there's inflation. And there's taxes.
Okay.
That's why the number is a little misleading, that 5%. But I'm talking about how much money you can take out of an account. So if you have $4 million, you could always take out $120,000 and most of the time, you won't run out of money.
All right. So, Rich, if you had to have a number, like, this is the number I need to retire, and then, like, everything else is just fine. Like that's the number that would make you sleep. Like, you'd sleep like a baby every night if you had that in the bank. What's that number for you?
This question is so hard.
All right, wait. Well, how about for you?
No, I'll tell you what. It's part of the answer, though. It's part of the answer. Like, I could say the number, but...
All right, how much does Trish need in the bank to sleep at night, and how much do you need in the bank to sleep?
So this is totally just to sleep at night, and it doesn't matter, you know, because now you got access and you can do something fun that you've wanted to do before and a whole new dream comes.
Yeah, that number.
That number, $10,000 a month.
Oh, a month. I was going to say, because 10 grand, I was going to say, I'll write you a check right now. You go home and just enjoy the rest of your life, man.
I'll just go to sleep right now.
Right? Hand it over. Oh, so 10 grand a month. All right, so 120 in the, no, because you'd be burning through it, right? So what was the figure?
No, that's why I said it's a hard question.
It's a hard question.
You know, as soon as it gets more, then my dreams expand to what I'm able to do, too.
That's funny, because your dreams expand, my dreams expire.
because if I had more money, then I'd be like, oh, cool, now I can fly to Africa and help solve some sort of issue there.
Yes, No, you wouldn't.
I wouldn't necessarily be. I went yesterday. Yesterday, I went to an epilepsy foundation, and I was sitting there just watching this, and I literally thought of you. I almost called you.
You were hanging out with people with epilepsy. No, you thought of
no,
me.
It was during the auction when they were, one of the raffle things was for a jet, private jet, from anywhere from San Diego to New York, $50,000 value. You couldn't like zigzag across the country, right?
So a direct flight for 50 G's?
For a weekend back and forth, but you could stop and you could do a couple, you know, there was a couple things you just couldn't zigzag, right? It only sold for $7,000.
For $7,000.
$7,000.
And I still think they overpaid. Because like, if I'm going to go from San Diego to New York for a weekend, I'm not spending $7,000.
You get the jet for the weekend though.
To do what? You just said we can't zigzag. So it's I can't even see more places. I'll fly Southwest for like $129 each way.
Oh, no.
Wait, okay. Given the choices between a private jet for $7,000 or flying to Southwest and getting $7,000 in pocket money, which would you choose?
Well, my hooker cocaine budget would have to probably push me towards Southwest.
It didn't take that long. See,
yeah, but you could probably get your hooker and cocaine in the jet.
In the jet.
Now you probably will get free stuff for a while when you go home.
All right, Justin, what's your number? So, like, because you're actually in the business. So let's talk to somebody who actually knows. And by the way, what's your website? Actually, we didn't even give you a chance to tell what's up. What is that?
jcrane.com. jkrane.com. I don't know. I like 20 a month.
You like 20 a month. That, yeah. You could do that.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, but we're Jews, right? So we could actually probably do it on 10, right?
We could.
Yeah, we could easily. You're giving me that look. What's your number, Wade? What would you need?
Well, I was just wondering, okay, if I retire with $4 million in debt, how much money do I need to survive?
Well, this is assuming you don't have any debt, right? I mean, but here's the thing. Let me ask you this. In your way of thinking, do most people not take enough risk in business? Because the laws actually reward people who take risk, right? I mean, because when you come right down to it, when you depreciation, you can write that shit off. Your mortgage interest, you can write that shit off. I mean, you can even file bankruptcy, right? Yeah. So, I mean, if you go and you really shoot for the stars and you don't hit, it's like Les Brown says, you know, most people in life, you know, they're not failures because they, you know, they aim too high and miss. They're failures because they aim too low and they hit, right? So it's just like you start thinking about the business side of the equation, the government actually rewards you by saying, okay, you gave it a try, nice try, son or girl or whatever, you file bankruptcy and you can start all over. So what do you think?
I think that people take a lot of risk with their personal money. Like they'll go start a restaurant or they'll go, you know, invest in a private deal or something like that. And then they don't take enough risk in their business and they're like a scaredy cat. Mm-hmm. But I believe that you don't have to take huge risks like a Richard Branson. You could take small and medium sized risks, you know, and look and see how the business goes. And then when it works, you just go big with that.
Mm-hmm. So, but going big obviously is a relative term. Let me ask you this. When you think about investing, how often do you recommend that people use other people's money before they use their own, as far as the business side of the equation is concerned?
I believe that you should always use your own money. And for the people that are thinking about getting loans for business or anything like that, I'm a believer in making sales in your business, using that money, and then using it to do whatever you want to grow your business. A lot of people will go get loans because their core product or offering stinks.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, what was it, Sergey Brin, I think, once said, that's the guy from Google, right? I mean, and this is a guy who says, no, you don't need money because, of course, he's got $78 billion. But I think one of the things that he said is that sales solves all problems, right?
Fushes.
Right? So sales solves all problems. So, like, if everything is, you know, going to hell in a handbasket in your business, go out and sell something and everything's magically solved. So, all right, it's pretty interesting stuff here. We're talking money and business live here on Reinvention Radio with Justin Crane. More right after this.
were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Thanks. That was pretty impressive there, man. It's like, and go. Okay, sweet, man. All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio here. By the way, so I started doing another show with, I was starting to say this earlier, with my business partner, Alex Mendozian. And since you're from LA, I actually have to say business partner, because if I just say partner, then you're like, yeah, okay. With nothing wrong with that. I mean, don't get me wrong. You can have any partner you choose. I am equal opportunity. Whatever you want to do, you do your thing. I have a business partner, and we do a show called Push Button Influence. And for the last 2 weeks, Rich, have you noticed what I've done for the last 2 weeks at the start of the show?
I missed it yesterday.
So for the last 2 weeks, I'm like, all right, welcome to another edition here of
Radio.
Welcome to another edition here of Push Button. So it's like I you can see Alex, like his face just kind of goes like, I'm going to kill you. So I'm going to have to figure that one out. Like put a note.
Yeah, note on
like on my computer or something there, because Alex is going to be like, dude, I'm no longer letting you host the show. It's my show now, because you can't stop saying, welcome to Reinvention Radio on Push Button Influence. All right, so here we go. Question of the moment is, let's bash some people. All right, you know this is Reinvention Radio, and so we have an opinion here. We're not shy to share our opinions. I will say that in the money space, there are some people, look at you, just chewing away on those sour cream and onion chips. First of all, by the way, thank you for breaking out the sour cream and onion chips. And this episode of Reinvention Radio is sponsored by the good people at Lay's. And I'm just going to keep saying that over and over again. Not the good people who get me laid. The good people at Lay's who make the potato chips. Because the only one who gets me laid is my wife. And so she's not sponsoring the show. She's not on this episode right now. But what I know is that if we just keep saying this episode of Reinvention Radio is sponsored today by Lay's, they're going to start sending us bags of sour cream and onion chips. So this is in business talk, this is called seeding.
Seeding, yes.
So we are seeding. We're creating an open loop right now. This is an open loop that we're creating. We are seeding for Lay's. Okay, so before the break, and actually during the break, mostly we were talking a little bit about, Lay's potato chips. But at the same token, I was thinking about money, and I was thinking about the people who are in the money space. And the money space people, like the Dave Ramsey, the David Box, the Susie Ormans, et cetera. First and foremost, without, kind of just beating each other up individually, they're, taking them on one by one. Of the three, which one is your favorite? Or is there somebody else that is your favorite that's not even on that list?
No, I'll go with Dave Ramsey. I mean, I think he's the most legit out of those three.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I like Dave. And do you know his system, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. The snowball thingy majigger. Do people actually come to you when they are in debt, trying to figure out how to get out, or mostly people that come to you, are they already like in a fairly decent position, and then they bring you in to help them go to the next step?
Yeah, number two. Yeah, no, I'm not the get out of debt guy.
Okay.
That's definitely Dave Ramsey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he just does it one at a time. Like, pay this card off, you're done, move on to the next one.
What do you think of that theory, by the way?
I'm fine with it. I think it's about momentum.
Yeah.
And if you can pay one down, you're like, okay, I got this.
How scared should we be? Like, in terms of savings, should we be really scared? Like, are most people not saving right now? Like, what? Yeah, I don't know, as an average of 100 people, how many people could actually retire and be okay of 100 people?
I think it's like 20% or
20%?
Some low
wow.
Number.
It's, yeah. Well, I was actually thinking it would be lower than that.
Yeah, I was thinking that sounds high.
Wow. Yeah, I was thinking it would actually be lower than that. But isn't the savings rate like in the United States below zero?
Yeah, that's definitely below zero. That's definitely lower. But the amount of people that have money in the bank that can save and that will get Social Security versus us because we won't get it because it'll probably run out, that's different.
See, that's just wrong. That's
yeah,
just wrong.
We're paying for, you know, we're funding it right now.
So what do we do about that? Do we just tell the government, look, we are not paying into Social Security?
Yes.
Because you're not going to have my money. So can we just probably do that, right, as a citizen?
Yeah, we're going to hoard all of our money together, like everyone in this room, and we're going to go buy Lay's potato chips, sour cream and onion.
Right.
And we're going to just hoard that. All the other people that are waiting for Social Security, they're going to get nothing but baked Lay's chips.
That's actually a really, really good idea. It's called, I believe they call that arbitrage, right? Because the value of Lay's potato chips right now is like $2.19 a bag, something like that. This is called product placement.
We're closing.
Hey, wait, we're on Blab. Give me the bag so I can actually show the, where's the bag? Oh, here we go.
It's behind you there.
You're right. So now we're actually live on video as well. So, so there we go. So Lay's sour cream and onions. So good people at Lay's, Frito-Lay, that's the one we want. Okay, so I'm sorry, you were saying?
Well, we were closing the open loop on the Lay's part. But here's my take on spending and saving. See, you look at Susie Orman, David Bach, like they're good, you know, they're fine. But they're all about, especially Susie, she's about, you know, save so you can live the life that you want to when you're 82. Mm-hmm. David Bach even says, don't get the latte factor. I'm not into that. I'm into a balance between spending and saving. I'm into making money, growing, using some of that money to spend and using some of that money to save.
Mm-hmm.
Because you only live once. I'm not saying, you know, go buy a new car and go buy the diamond ring and all of that at once. But come on, we got to live a little bit.
So, all right, but that's a great point. So, Rich, you, I know you historically buy, what is it, like 6 or 8 lattes a day? Mm-hmm. And so when you add that up, your latte factor is like, I mean, you're screwed, dude.
Yeah.
Like, that's way too many lattes.
I'm not buying the Jets.
Right. So the question, Justin, is as you look at where most people are, if you give them that permission, don't they take it too far?
Some of them do. But if they're working with the right advisor or have the right automation or can get automatically save some money for their future, it's okay. You know, if you spend $10 a week on coffee, I can show you a retirement plan projection where it's not going to really adversely affect you.
So I heard you say automatic a couple of times. Do you set up automatic savings plans so they don't have the choice? It's just like they make the choice once and it just happens on their own.
The money is gone. It's automatically being saved somewhere. I mean, David Bach talks about that. I agree with that, where the money's gone before you even have a chance to spend it. But I'm about just dedicating a certain amount of money to fun and games, something that you want to do. But it's got to be in the balance, in the context of your bigger plan.
Right. What did you call that budget, Wade? You called it the whores and what did you just call it?
Cocaine and hookers.
That's
enjoying the moment. Right.
That was like, isn't that with the lottery winner guy when the news it's like, what would you do with those Powerball?
He said
cocaine and hookers. And she's like, oh, that wasn't really the answer expecting.
Wait, is this somebody who actually won?
No. He was in line getting, they were interviewing people that were standing in line to try to get the Powerball.
Oh, God, that's so funny. All right. So let me ask you this. So at what point? Oh, go ahead, Wade. No, please.
Well, I was just going to, you know, emphasize, definitely carve out some to enjoy, you know, at the moment, because, you know, we only get one shot at life. And the key, though, is spend it intentionally and thoroughly enjoy that you decided to spend. If you're going to Hawaii, don't go to Hawaii and take your laptop and work. Mm-hmm. Go to Hawaii and be in Hawaii.
That's hard to do, though, man. And when you got your own business, right? I mean, that's, God, it's my kids. You know, my wife refers to my phone and my computer as my bitch and my whore. Like, those are like, she's not worried about me cheating on her because she knows, like, that's not going to happen. But she's worried about, like, the relationship that I have with my phone and my computer. Like, that's her concern right there. Justin, you don't seem to have that problem. How long have you been married? You have that problem. Okay, yeah, you're with me on that.
Yes.
How long have you been married now?
2 years.
2 years. Why?
Yeah. Like, why only two?
Yeah, because, like, I mean, you went this far. Is this a second marriage?
Okay,
I got it.
Right. Yeah.
Is this one better?
Oh, yeah.
All right, good. Much better. What do you like better about this one, just out of curiosity? Like, when you think about your first wife, like, what's the three adjectives that come to mind?
If you listen to previous shows, you knew this was coming at some point.
Oh, man.
Come on, give me three adjectives for the first wife. Gold digger.
Yeah.
Gold digger. Okay, we knew that was coming. What's the second one?
I can't.
What did you lose in the divorce? 50%? Oh, half?
Yeah, of course.
More?
No, half.
Half. So what do people have to do, like, right now if you're married? Like, hypothetically, if you're married for, like, 18 or so years, just hypothetically, and you're thinking, like, you know, this is never, ever, ever, for never, ever, ever going to happen, but just in case, like, just eat the chips, Rich. Just eat them in the mic, man. Why are you turning away from the mic? Just eat. So if you're, you know, like, what could you do right now to protect yourself? You don't have a prenup, right? Because when you got married, you weren't thinking, like, this is ever going to end. So if there are people who are married right now, is there anything that they can do to protect themselves so that they don't end up? Because, like, I have a friend who literally ended up, like, almost bankrupt. Like, yeah. The wife took almost everything.
Well, it depends on the state. Like, California is a community property state. So, you really can't. Because even if you put money in your own name, it's still community property money.
What about the strategy of creating the secondary persona of the Walmart greeter and just tell your wife, I'm a Walmart greeter.
Yeah, Fletch.
Here's what we got.
What was that? Like the Cayman, the Cayman Islands, you've got the account there. You got the Swiss bank accounts. Like Rich is, you know, that's what you do. You got like $38 in a Swiss bank account, which is like, I am planning for my future. Every third dollar of my $100 goes to.
You think I'm eating these chips? I'm putting them in another bag over here.
Oh, so when you're turning away from the mic, you're not actually eating. You're hoarding them.
He's funding his account with chips.
All right, but seriously, when you go back to the latte factor, people take that way too far. I mean, they do, right? Because people inherently don't like to save, right? I mean, they don't know how
save. It's obviously about delayed gratification. Everyone wants everything now. And I believe that we have to have some of it. But a lot of people don't even know where to put the money. That's why they don't save. And then they'll leave it in their bank account. And then they'll see that it's there and they'll go out and buy something.
Mm-hmm. And that's a dangerous place to be because it's like, to, you know, what you said, Rich. I mean, you just take it and you put it away. You don't even look at it. How do you put your money away so that you can't touch it? Is there anywhere you can actually put it like you can be protected from yourself?
Yes, you can obviously invest in a mutual fund or some retirement account or whatever. And the first key is not to have online access.
So you actually have to physically go somewhere to...
You don't want to look at your account online because if you can look at it online, you might take it. Mm. And you'll want to get paper statements. That way they just come to you and you just file them away.
Yeah.
And you just forget about it. It's like set it and forget it.
So like put it in... So like mutual funds and stocks and those sort of things because that's not... Because it's not liquid.
Correct.
But you can liquidate those, but it's not like... In your pocket, you've got the money, and you're going to go out and do your stuff. All right.
It's not like you have your cell phone and you can move money from your savings to your checking, something like that.
Yeah. All right. I got it. All right. So let's talk about the business side of the equation, because I know you do a lot of work with businesses, and so you've got some really good strategies around that. All right. So more with Justin Crane of jcrane.com. All right. Sweet. Right after this on Reimagine Radio.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. We got the all-male review today with White Wade in the house, running the board. Thank you for that. And Mary Boulay is in Minnesota. Probably getting whiter because I think like literally when you get off the plane and you go to Minnesota, I think you just naturally start like if you go there tan, I think you just come back like albino. That's how I think about it.
So do I take that as a challenge? I need to go someplace to become even whiter than Mary.
Right. So here's what we're going to do. So remember how they had like that ice bucket challenge? We're going to do the albino challenge. That's where we're going to start. Like if you go to Minnesota, I think you literally come back whiter. We're going to see how that works for most people. Richard Tate's in the house and Justin Crane of jcrane.com. KRANE.com. Nice. And by the way, what is the name of your company?
Well, I have two. One of them is Crane Financial Solutions, where I'm a CFP. The other one is jcrane.com, where I'm a money strategist.
A money strategist. What exactly is a money strategist, by the way?
I define it as someone who's strategic with the business money.
So let's talk about that. So most businesses, they don't put enough money into the pockets of the owners because so many businesses take that money and they reinvest it into the business, right? I mean, like, yeah, there are plenty of folks who have like their stock things and this, that, and the other, and they have, of course, their salary. But for the most part, of private businesses, you seldom see private businesses distribute the profits, right? I mean, most of the time, at least from what I'm just in my experience, you see them take that money and you put it back into the business so they can keep growing the business. Do you have a rule of thumb around what a business owner should do when there is profitability?
Well, first of all, a lot of business owners, Steve, don't even have profitability.
Well, okay. Yeah, that
so,
is true.
So we need to shoot for at least a 10% profit after.
Wait, 10% of what?
Of the sales. So if you're doing 100 grand in sales, the business has got to make 10,000.
Wow.
And that's after you pay yourself.
And after you pay yourself.
Okay. Or after you take those distributions and put it in another account. A lot of people aren't even there.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're talking about is that they don't have a lot of profits. A lot of business owners will just waste money. They will make investments that don't work. They will spend money on things that are not good. And then they're like, where did all the money go?
So talk about the business sort of write-off scenario, right? Where somebody's like, oh, I'm going to have a car, but I don't need to actually buy the car. Personally, I'm just going to have the company like get a car and I'm just going to use it, right? Or even like vacations that they just basically they work for like, you know, quote unquote, air quotes, work for like 2 hours, right? It's a mastermind with their wife, you know, and she's the secretary of the company, right? And so that and they write that. Do people push that shit too far? Yeah.
Yes.
So what kind of trouble can they get into if they're doing that?
If the IRS audits them, they're screwed.
How many people get audited, like, as a percentage? Do you know what that number is?
No.
Yeah, because whatever it is, it's too many. Because it's like, what do you care? You know, if I'm paying anything in it all, get off my back, because you guys aren't going to do the right thing with my money anyway. Clearly, I am more responsible. Even if I lost 50 grand last year, whatever it might be, I am still more responsible with my money than the government is. I mean, like, there's how on earth do they? That's a whole other discussion.
Yeah, I was about to say.
How do they get away with that? If you ran that, if that was a business, it would be bankrupt 100 times over.
Yeah, well, you can't deduct money like that's a loss. You can only lose money to the extent that you have sales. So you can't you can't be advantageous with that loss. But for the people that are like, hey, I'll go buy a car in my business or I'll go to Hawaii, whatever. Yeah, so maybe your business doesn't have a profit and maybe you don't have that much in taxes, but you're still paying the money to go to Hawaii. Or you're still buying the car and you still don't have the money.
So how do you know when? Well, let me ask you this, because there are a lot of people who want to quit the 9-to-5, you know, maybe go out and do their own thing, but they want to get out of that 9-to-5 scenario. What advice do you give people who are in that frame of mind where they're like, I got to get out of here? What do you tell them to do? What are some practical things that you can tell them to start thinking about doing?
The first one is, that's a great idea. I love hearing stories about people who leave the 9-to-5 job and then go start their own business. But it's all about cash flow and cash. So if you have a spouse that works and the spouse can support you and the family or whatever, and you've got money in the bank, then it's a no-brainer. You want to do it. But if you guys are needing that money, then you have to fund a separate emergency savings account that you can live on until you have enough cash flow in your business to support you. But maybe that's not even the right choice. I think the right choice is to do some of the business on the side, get some cash flow going, and then once you have enough cash to support your lifestyle, then you can make the move.
Or if it's getting in your way, like of growing your business, it's like now doing this other side job to pay the bills mm-hmm. is literally getting in the way now. Like, I can't grow my business anymore because I'm doing this old thing I've been doing to pay the bills. You got, that's definitely a time to jump ship, right?
Yeah, but it's all about risk. It's all about how much money do you have in the bank? How much money do you need to live? What is this new business bringing in? If it's too big of a stretch, then it may not be the right time. Mm-hmm. You have to be real, real thoughtful about that.
And if I can throw this in.
No, please do.
One of the challenges that you'll run into is crap happens. And so you need to have a little bit of money set aside, but people will quit their job, they'll start the business, and they'll live on beans and rice while they're running the business and have nothing for if crap mm-hmm. happens. So what if instead, while you're working your job, live on beans and rice? Save up the money, and then when you jump ship, you've already lived poor, and now you've got a cushion.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. But there's let me tell you about the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is
that is not nice. Rich does not like being referred to.
These Lay's chips are made the reduced fat.
Is you're working for a company. You just want autonomy. You want to build your own business. You want to make an impact, whatever it is. But the business model is flawed. Your business model on what you're going to start and build is flawed, where you're really not going to make money, or the way that you're going to make money is not great. And then a lot of what happens is you'll look back and you'll be like, oh my God, my business is making 20 grand. I was making $60,000 at Walmart. I'm netting 20 grand from my business and I'm making a third of what I was making in my corporate job.
Yeah.
That's all because of the business model, how the business makes money. So if you're going to make that leap, you got to really ask yourself, okay, how am I going to make profit so that I can live?
Mm-hmm. And so it's to your point, Rich. I mean, it's like, how do you make the right decision as opposed to making the decision right? You know, because ultimately, the time to start thinking about all the things that you are mentioning now is before you take, you know, I mean, you take that leap of faith and you go into business, because when you go into business, you should already have all those questions answered. So that's not even a question. I mean, like, all you got to do is look at all the closed cupcake shops like around town and you can see, like, okay, it's great. You bake you're a great baker at home. It doesn't mean you should go out and start your own retail store making cupcakes.
That's the whole E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber. He talks about that.
Yeah, that guy's, he lives around here somewhere. We should have him in and then we can just butcher him together. All right, so one last question real quick here is, people are really funny about their money, right? And they don't want anyone else handling their money because they're afraid of what's going to happen. How do you provide assurance to people that if you turn over that financial side of the equation to someone else, they are actually going to take care of you as opposed to rob you blind?
It's a great question. It's all about the referral, the reference that you're making, especially for like bookkeepers. They have access to all your shit. Like, they have your bank accounts, right? Your credit card accounts, all of that. They need to be, you need to have a reference and a referral. And you yourself have to go into your bank account and your credit cards and make sure that all the money is there.
Yeah, so it's the checks and balances.
Yeah.
Like, literally checks. And literally, you're balancing your checkbook. I think that's probably where that term came from. It's like a balancing your checkbook. So someone just got lazy and like, yeah, just checks and balances. All right, sweet. So before we run out of time here, which of course we always do because we only have so much airtime here at Reinvention Radio, website, where do people find you?
jcrane.com, jkrane.com.
Jay Crane. Awesome. So Jay Crane, so fun having you here, my man. Justin Crane driving all the way down from Calabasas.
That's right.
To be with us here in studio. All right. So for those who have been rating and reviewing and subscribing to the podcast, awesome. Thank you. We love you. Please keep doing it and share this show with your friends, because occasionally we actually say something that's worth listening to. And I think in this episode, if you play this one back, I'm not sure where, but I'm thinking at some point during this episode, there was probably something worth listening to. And I guarantee you, it wasn't from me. It was either from Wade or Rich or Justin.
My guess, it involves Lay's potato chips.
And thank you for our sponsor there as well. All right, awesome. So great episode here of Reinvention Radio, my friends. We will be back next time. And until then, sayonara. And remember, reinventionradio.com is a place to catch every episode. We'll talk to you guys later.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olsher, visit reinventionradio.com.